All of us in our own minds can picture somebody who held some authority over us in life. Maybe that authority was kind of an unspoken thing, just a naturally accepted thing. Particularly mothers and perhaps grandmothers have had that impact in your life. They just kind of have that power about them that we respect and we recognize. A daughter was visiting her mother at home, and she was going through all the kitchen drawers. And she said to her mother, "You know, I'm always looking for something in your kitchen." The mother said, "Good. When you know where everything is, then it's time to go home." So an authority may be a certain person, or perhaps an authority that is recognized in a teaching or in knowledge that is gained. Authority is that which has an influence of our thought and our opinion and our behavior. It's a convincing force that we have in life. And so in Luke's gospel, we read about Jesus responding to the challenges that he faces. The question of authority. We see Jesus against this backdrop of the religious authorities of his day. In the century before Jesus, there was a brief period of independence for the people of Israel before the Romans then arrived. This revolution and then this independence was led by the Hasmonean family. And in their efforts of leadership, in their assertion of independence, of reestablishing the traditions and the practices of the temple, they still accepted much of the Greek culture that still existed throughout much of the world. And so then as a result of that, there were various emerging religious movements among the people of Israel. There were those who refused to accept any type of foreign influence in any form whatsoever. This movement became known as the Zealots. And they lived in the region of Galilee. They were devoted to the Torah law, the first five books of their scriptures, and also the oral interpretations that were derived from them. But they were a rebellious people. They practiced revolution. They were against any foreign presence in their land, any foreign presence in their culture or in their politics. But also there were those who did not believe that violence would work. They even believed that God brought the foreign oppressor because of the failure of the people to obey the Torah law. They were devoted to complete obedience to every detail of the law. They focused on this knowledge, what would lead to their piety. They were called the Separatists, or as we know them, the Pharisees. So they continued to interpret and to expand the law more and more. It became a complex guide to everyday life and everyday behavior. After 3 long months of summer, the mother sent her son back to school. After 2 days of school, his teacher called and said that he had been misbehaving. Well, she said to him, "Well, you know, I just finished having him at home for 3 months. I never called you when he misbehaved." But the guide to the everyday life was terribly complex. But these were people, though, that anticipated the Messiah, who believed a God who was just, wise, and merciful. Their focus was on the community. Their life revolved around the synagogues. The Pharisees actually had much in common with Jesus. The criticism of them was when they became so focused on their personal obedience that they did not notice or care about the needs of those around them. And so for Jesus, there was a strong condemnation of certain Pharisees, those who were stubborn, those who he found to be uncaring, those who then were labeled as hypocrites. But Jesus never criticized anyone for simply being a Pharisee. And in fact, many of them supported him. And then finally, there were those who ruled the temple. They began to rebuild the temple during the period of independence. They were the priests of the temple, known as the Sadducees. Now, they were wealthy and politically active. They collaborated with foreign powers. They sought the favor of the Romans and the ruling Herod, the ruling of the Herod family. They made up a large majority of the Sanhedrin council, the ruling body of Jewish law. They were small in number, but had great influence. Their authority, their position, came as a result of their lineage, of being born into certain families. They were faithful to the practices of the temple, of all the rituals and sacrifices. They believed that was the only path to God. It was this worship that they brought God down to the people. And they dealt harshly with anyone who undermined the temple and all the traditions and rituals and practices. They had much to lose from the movement that Jesus was beginning. They resisted any effort to disturb their carefully ordered lives. They wanted no reform whatsoever. Nothing to get in the ways in which they enriched themselves. As we read, they weren't believers in the resurrection. And so they present a question that is more and more ridiculous all the while it is shared with Jesus, the whole idea. But as Jesus does, he answers it in his own way, that the resurrection is not to be understood as a continuity to the present order as we know it. It is not extension of worldly life. And so Jesus is challenged by the existing authorities of his day. So imagine the difficulties, all that he faced. After examining the exams in the class, the teacher said to the student, "It's clear you haven't studied the current events, haven't kept up on what we have been talking about." And so the student says, "Well, you know, my father says that the world is changing. So I thought I would wait until it settles down." But the world is changing. There are many underlying movements as a backdrop to Jesus' ministry, and Jesus is a contrast to them. As we read time and time again, Jesus' authority comes from God and from God alone. and is the authority of Jesus that is to influence us in our lives and to influence the society in which we live. We are to be part of Jesus' kingdom movement, the emergences of God's kingdom. It does not focus on a violence toward the opposition. It does not focus on law. It does not focus on rituals or traditions. But it is the message to which we conform that gives us shape. It is a message then that then transforms us and changes us, that we are not a people of the world, but we are a people of Jesus. In Luke, you can read of this kingdom on Jesus' Sermon on the Plain, where Jesus shares what it is like to be part of God's kingdom, to recognize Jesus' authority and how that impacts our lives. For in that sermon, Jesus stresses that each person is to be treated with dignity and equality, that we are to be servants, to take the position of servant in our lives and in the world in which we live, and that our love goes beyond any artificial boundaries. Our love does not recognize any limitations. But it's important for us to look to Jesus. Jesus is not about making us comfortable, but rather he challenges us. He challenges the movements of the day, those things that we see taking place around us. And we are to challenge all things that are contrary to God's kingdom. Amen.